I mentioned very early on that the main area to consider when reclaiming VAT is the evidence, and you must have a VAT invoice. So what is a VAT invoice? In fact, changes were made to VAT invoicing arrangements with effect from the 1st of January 2004 to implement a European directive and to harmonise VAT invoicing throughout Europe. The UK didn't immediately buy into this, and changes have had to be made from the 1st of October, which affect some businesses, which I will mention later on. But as a claimant of VAT, you must hold a VAT invoice in order to evidence your VAT recovery. That invoice must have an identifying number. There has been a change from the 1st October 2007 in that the identifying number must be a unique number. I'll say more about that later on. The time of supply must be noted. That is the tax point. That's the time that VAT is payable by the supplier. That is normally the date of the invoice. So where no other date appears, you can take it that the tax point and the invoice date are one and the same. You don't need to identify it separately. But there are occasions where the tax point can be different from the invoice date, in which case two dates are required. The name and address of the person to whom the goods or services are supplied must be shown. There must be a description sufficient to identify the goods or services supplied. For professional services, a description such as professional services rendered is acceptable. Obviously, with goods, a more detailed description is probably fairly obvious. For each description, the quantity of the goods or the extent of the services must be shown. Also, the rate of VAT and the amount payable, excluding VAT, expressed in any currency. Before the 1st of January 2004, invoices had to be expressed in sterling, but they can now be in any currency. The unit price must be shown. This applies to countable goods and services. For goods, this is fairly straightforward. If you're supplying 8 teddy bears, then you show 8 as the quantity of teddy bears supplied. For services, it is not so obvious. The countable element might be, for example, an hourly rate, which must be shown if that's the case, or the price paid for standard services. If the supply cannot be broken down into countable elements, the total VAT exclusive price is the unit price. So professional services, which can't be broken down, can be professional services at the agreed price. Additionally, the unit price may not need to be shown at all if it is not normally provided in their particular business sector and is not required by the customer. This was a bit of a fudge by HMRC because there was some outcry in whether or not hourly rates must be shown on invoices, where in some sections of business they didn't want to disclose hourly rates necessarily. The total amount payable must be shown, excluding VAT, again expressed in any currency. The rate of any cash discount offered. Cash discount is a peculiar animal in that VAT should be shown on the discounted amount. For example, if goods are sold at £100 and there's a 5% discount if paid within 30 days, then VAT will be calculated on £95. So if you're trying to work back in your books to match up the VAT with the value, you'll have the value of 100, but the VAT will be shown at 95. So that could be a reason for an imbalance between the cost of the goods and the VAT recoverable. But the rate of any cash discount offered must be shown on the invoice. The amount of VAT should also be shown on the invoice, and this amount must be expressed in sterling. A full VAT invoice is required when the cost of goods or services supplied exceeds £250. Where the cost is less than £250, it is in order for the supplier to provide what is termed a less detailed VAT invoices. These are very similar to the invoices you will see when you buy petrol. They will not have too much detail on them, but they're perfectly acceptable to evidence VAT recovery. The particulars on a less detailed, or they're known as less detailed VAT invoices, are as follows. The name, address and registration number of the supplier. the time of supply, that's more helpful than the date, a description sufficient to identify the goods or services supplied, the total amount payable including VAT, and then if goods or services have different VAT rates, you must show for each rate of VAT chargeable, the gross amount payable including VAT and the VAT rate applicable. But in the UK, where most goods or services are applicable to the standard rate, then there's normally only going to be one rate of VAT. You can then use that less detailed VAT invoice to recover the VAT included on the invoice. You have to work out the VAT yourself, and the way to do that is to divide the amount by 47 and multiply it by 7. That will give you the VAT content of an amount which includes VAT. The danger is if you, for example, go to PC World and buy a computer, if you don't ask for a VAT invoice, they're not advised or enjoined to give you one. They'll give you a less detailed VAT invoice. But if the amount is, say, £500, you cannot use that less detailed VAT invoice for VAT recovery purposes. You must ask the supplier to provide you with a full VAT invoice. If you don't, your VAT recovery is at risk. One area of doing business which has been accepted by HMRC, or has had to be accepted by HMRC, is self-billing. This applies primarily where the customer sets the rate and amount which he's going to pay to the supplier. Very prevalent in where a business has agents and sets the commission rates. The customer will prepare the invoice, tell the supplier how much they, the customer, are going to pay the supplier, and issue that invoice. That is an accepted way of invoicing and has been accepted by HMRC, even though there are hidden dangers in it, which they do not like. So it's strictly controlled. But if that happens, then the customer produces his or her own invoice, showing all the details which I've just described, which have to be on a full VAT invoice, and sends a copy of the invoice to the supplier. The invoice must be annotated with the words, "This is your output tax payable to HMRC." That's one of the conditions. The supplier will then account for output tax as applicable. The customer will use his or her own invoice to recover VAT input tax. As I said, it's strictly controlled. Before 1 January 2004, you had to apply for self-billing, but now you do not. You can just use it, but you must comply with the HMRC requirements, which mainly are that the invoice is annotated correctly and that you're only using it where the suppliers are VAT registered. And you must keep a list of those suppliers and their registration numbers. There are areas where VAT can be recovered with no invoice. These are primarily where no invoice can possibly have been received. They apply to telephone calls made from call boxes, very, very seldom now that with the age of mobile phones. But if agents, for example, or employees are on the road, make a telephone call from a private call box, obviously they cannot get a VAT invoice, but provided the expenditure is logged, then VAT can be recovered. Also, goods from coin-operated machines, chocolate bars. If staff suddenly get hungry at a tube station, they can buy a chocolate bar. If the business pays that chocolate bar, VAT can be recovered without a VAT invoice. Car park charges where no invoice can be obtained, such as where you pay on display. Toll charges where no invoice can be obtained. There is a condition: the value of the expenditure must be less than £25. Just going back to telephone calls for a moment, the £25 and the concession to recover VAT also applies here where a business pays part of an employee's telephone bill, because the employee has used the telephone for business use. If they're reimbursed by the employer, the employer can claim the VAT, or they won't have a VAT invoice because the telephone company will have made out its invoice to the employee. Provided the expenditure is less than £25, then it's perfectly in order for the business to recover the VAT as input tax. I mentioned earlier that changes have been made from the 1st October 2007 for the UK to comply with the European harmonisation rules for invoicing. The one change which will affect every business is that from the 1st of October 2007, a unique and sequential number has to be included on invoices. Previous to the 1st October 2007, it was in order just for a invoice to have an identifying number. But from 1st of October, the numbers must be sequential and unique. The other changes only affect a minority of businesses, and primarily they are where a business has used a scheme such as the second-hand scheme or the tour operator's margin scheme, then it must be noted on the invoice that that scheme has been used.